Hello everyone, and welcome back to In the Active Site, the podcast where you meet the brightest minds in the field of biocatalysis and biotransformations. My name is Christoph Winkler, and I present this podcast together with my colleague Matthias Pickel. We are both scientists in the ELK crew in Graz, who will host the upcoming Biotrans 2021 conference. Our guest today is Professor Silvia Osuna Oliveras, who is at the Instituto de Química Computacional y Catalisi at the University of Girona. Silvia is involved in computational enzyme design and has a stunning publication record. Silvia, I'm happy to have you here and I look forward to our conversation.
Hi, Christo. Thanks a lot for the invitation. It's great to be here and participate in the podcast.
Also here with us is my colleague and office mate and co-host, Matthias Pickel. Hello, Matthias.
Hello, Christoph, and welcome, Silvia. It's great to have you here.
Hi, Matthias.
Silvia, before we dive into your CV, I read in one of your interviews that choosing between fine arts and chemistry as a profession was a close call for you, and you are still active as an artist. By the way, dear listener, you should definitely check out Silvia's blog with her fantastic paintings. So chemistry seems quite unrelated, but how did you end up in this particular field then?
Well, you know what, I really love painting and drawing and going to art exhibitions. And of course, this is something that I liked since I was a child, really. But then at high school, I studied chemistry, physics, biochemistry, of course. And I realized also how much I enjoyed learning about these different areas. So yeah, I chose chemistry, but I wanted to study biochemistry, really. But in Spain by then, so you had to start with either chemistry or biology, and then I chose, you know, chemistry. The truth is that I'm not that active now as an artist, but still I enjoy very much, you know, painting and preparing the figures for the papers and the presentations.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but I hope you can continue with your passion. So you did your studies and PhD in the University of Girona, and your research back then was already focused on in silico design, especially the Diels-Alder reaction and the reactivity of fullerenes, which are already quite big molecules, but still smaller than enzymes. You then moved as a postdoc to the group of Ken Hauck at the University of California, and guessing from your publication list, this was the first time you got in touch with enzymes. We ask this question here a lot because it always seems to be a key moment in a researcher's career. What was your motivation to get into enzymes as a research field?
Well, as I said, I always liked biochemistry. And in fact, I wanted to study biochemistry. But in Girona, you know, at the Institute of Computational Chemistry and Catalysis, at that time, nobody was working on enzymes or on biochemistry. I really like computational chemistry, and I had this opportunity to study reaction mechanisms on fullerenes and Diels-Alder reactions, as you said. And so I decided to do the PhD in that direction. However, also, so during the PhD, I had the opportunity to do a short research stay at the Hauck Lab, so before the postdoc. And when I went there, I realized that they were starting to work with enzymes in the, you know, in computational enzyme design. So it was like, you know, the beginning when the first examples of the inside-out protocol so started to appear. And I really I was really, really curious about this area, and decided that if I wanted to do the postdoc, I wanted to really change topic and focus the postdoc in this new challenging field.
Following this day in the US, you returned back to Girona as a postdoc, where you stayed until you got your current position and starting your own group. How was it to switch to the role from a researcher to a PI in the same institution? Was there some challenge to be fully appreciated as a full professor in the same institute?
Well, it's true that usually it's not easy, you know, to get accepted as professor in the place where you did the PhD. But The truth is that in Girona and in the Institute, I have always felt like at home, and you know, and also I had the advantage that when I moved back, I started like a completely new research line. So nobody was working on what I wanted to work, and from a strategical point of view, this was also interesting for the Institute and also for the colleagues, no? And when, how long it took? Well, I returned in 2012, and I got the permanent position I have right now in 2018. And mostly, I always say that this was like, you know, like really great news for me, and this was basically motivated thanks to the ERC, the European Research Council Starting Grant project that was awarded. So thanks to the ERC, I could establish my lab and get everything we have right now.
So Silvia, you will give a talk at the BioTrans 2021. Have you been to such a meeting before?
No, this will be my first BioTrans meeting, and I'm really excited about it. So looking forward to it.
Silvia, besides your continued work on carbon-based materials such as nanotubes and fullerenes, you also work on enzymes now. For example, you follow the evolutionary pathway of enzymes that were enhanced via directed evolution. So you follow the mutations that were introduced in different generations during this directed evolution process. And you developed a tool that is able to predict beneficial mutations and even to predict mutations that are distant from the active site, which is quite challenging. Could you elaborate a bit on this research?
Yeah, so the point about directed evolution that usually introduces mutations far away from the active site, and these mutations remote from the active site have an impact in the enzymatic activity, is something that that I really like and has attracted my attention. But of course, from a computational point of view, and not only from a computational point of view, but these are really challenging to predict, as the number of positions is super big. So one of the main objectives of my research is to develop new tools, new computational tools that allow this identification of crucial positions, not only at the active site, but also far away from the active site. And the way we try to target this is by studying the ensemble of conformations that the enzyme under study can adopt in solution. And then basically by applying different computational tools, we can get information and reconstruct this the enzyme conformational landscape, so this ensemble of conformations, and evaluate how these different conformations have been altered along the evolution, along directed evolution. And then we also get profit from this simulation data, and we evaluate which motions between the different residues that compose the protein exist and are correlated. And we apply graph theory and different strategies on the simulation data. And by doing so, we obtain which positions have a big impact in the enzyme conformational dynamics. And what was interesting is that by comparing these positions that we find are crucial for the conformational dynamics, if you compare them with the positions targeted with directed evolution, so we find that many of them are identified or even contained in this path of positions that are relevant. So we are very excited about this point, and this is what we are doing.
Okay, this sounds very interesting. So you find the positions distant from the active site that trigger a bigger change in conformations. Did I understand this correctly?
Exactly, okay. Yes.
This is very interesting. How accessible is this method for any researcher in biocatalysis? I always have the feeling that the the entry barrier into computation is quite high because you need a lot of computational power, you need to know some programming. So what would someone like me have to do in order to be able to apply this?
Yeah, well, these tools are, I mean, the truth is that these tools are not that computationally expensive. The problem is that you need simulation data, so you need to run all these multiple molecular dynamic simulations, which is really expensive. So, and also at this point, we are also refining and developing and making changes to the tool. So, for the moment, I mean, if you want to use these tools, you can always send us an email, and we can share with you the program. But of course, the limitation is that you need to have all this simulation data. Our idea is to, to make a web server so that people can extensively use the tool. But again, I mean, the limitation would be then to get the MD simulations done.
So for every new target, you need this set of MD simulations, and after that, it would be easy to use it over and over again.
Exactly. So the tool is very, you can get the results in minutes. But of course, getting the results for the MD simulations, then it's not minutes, it's like days and weeks and months of simulation.
Well, you already targeted a good collection of different enzyme classes. There are, just from your publication list, acyl transferases, monoamine oxidases, tryptophan synthases, cytochrome P450s, dehydrogenases. How did you come up with these targets?
Well, we try to look for enzymes that first have been evolved by their evolution and that are well characterized. So it's good to have some X-ray structures, not for all the variants, but at least for the wild type enzyme or some variants. And also it's good to have information about the enzyme kinetics and ideally along the evolutionary pathway. So getting this, knowing, having this information is very important for the first stage of computationally evaluating the different variants and get information about, what this evolution has changed in these enzymes. And then all this information is also very key for then the rational design of new variants based on the developed tools.
Silvia, what is the everyday's work in your group like? Is everyone focused on computational work, or do you investigate your findings also in the wet lab?
Well, everyone is mostly focused on computational work. However, some of my students also perform some experimental validations of our rational designs. Either in the biology department of the same university, University of Girona, or also through, they can perform a short research stay at different labs from our collaborators, and there they can also test their designs, no? the designs that we have generated. So, and also another possibility is that we contact our collaborator and they try, and they test the variants. So mostly, everyone is computationally focused, but still we have some people doing some wet lab.
Yeah, well, that's for sure nice for your students because they, after their training, they have quite a broad skill set. A recent sensation in our field were the stunning results from the AlphaFold in last year's CASP challenge, which basically what they demonstrated was basically an accurate prediction of the tertiary structure of a protein based on its sequence. Now, asking you as an expert, how do you expect this will change our field, and also will this have an impact on your work?
Well, I think this is really, really exciting. The coming years, I'm sure, will be super fun, and I am very happy to be working in this specific new computational area. So I'm sure the results from, you know, from AlphaFold will have a large influence, and the application of machine learning in computational enzyme design will for sure gain importance in the coming years. I think it will. I mean, it's really a breakthrough, and I think we will be definitely. We will be able to move from the static structure to the multiple conformation view and evaluate and get information from this in a faster and hopefully in a more accurate way. So I'm sure this will have a large impact.
So we are very lucky to have an artist here today on the podcast, as before mentioned. And I wanted to ask this question all my life. What do you think? Are science and art opposing, unrelated things, or do they actually have some things in common and complement each other?
Well, I think they are highly complementary. At least the principle of creativity. No? So I think in research and science, it's very important to be creative, especially when finding solutions or when developing new ideas. So in this view, they are really complementary, and also apart from that, and this is something that I really enjoy. So generating also good figures of the main findings of your research really helps. You know, it helps in presenting the results that you have obtained in your study. And also for, and of course, for disseminating your science. So I think they are really complementing things.
Yeah, it was quite a nice change to not only research papers for preparation, but also check out your art blog. You painted the Catalan landscape and also the town Girona in vivid paintings. So, but we also found out that you painted a protein structure. And how do you think is science an inspiration for your art and vice versa?
Well, as I said, I don't have much time now for painting, unfortunately. But I have many projects in mind that I hope I can perform once I am more available and my kid is older, you know. the thing is that enzymes and biological complexes are really beautiful, you know, if you check their structure. So you can get a lot of inspiration just by looking at the structure, and also, why not, the ensemble of structures. And painting. And well, my idea is to paint and draw more abstract paintings. So as you said, mostly I have been painting the landscape and the town, doing something more abstract but more like science related, it can be really cool, and that's something I would like to do in the near future.
Yeah, hopefully you can. So you're a member of the gender action plan of the IQCC. How do you perceive the current changes of female researchers compared to male ones? Are there some actions which still can be done and should be taken?
Well, yeah, this is a very good question and also a difficult question to answer. Being a female researcher, of course, I have heard many comments about my position and my research that I think should be totally avoided. So being part of this gender action plan is very for me, it's very important and key, and mostly for making people realize, you know, how these different comments can affect a woman's career and also the everyday work life. And I really hope, like, you know, all these comments are totally removed, like in the really near future. Also, these days, being being a mom and a female researcher, I realize how this impacts your career and how different it is from a male's career. You know? So it's not the same to be a mom or to be a dad, especially the first months, you know, where your kid is very, very small. So in this way, in this sense, I think, special actions, more actions could be taken in this regard. No? So, I don't know which specific ones should be taken, but I think, definitely there's a lot of improvement.
Thanks for this interesting take. So we hope to meet you in person at the Biotrans 2021 in Graz. Would you give us a short teaser what you will talk about in your talk?
Well, you know, fingers crossed. I really hope we can meet in person in Graz and that I can be there and present you our research, some new projects, very recent projects that we have been working based on the rational prediction of distal activity enhancing mutations on different enzymes. And of course, this prediction is done, as I said, by looking at, by reconstructing the conformational landscape of the enzyme and by applying these different computational tools based on evaluating the correlated movements between the different residues of a protein.
Sounds interesting.
So we now come to our quick question round, where we ask you just very short questions, and we ask you to answer briefly and with the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
Silvia, what is your favorite enzyme or enzyme family?
I would say that my favorite enzyme is an acyl transferase, LOVD, because that's the first enzyme that I work back at the Haug Lab, and I really like it.
Also very nice publication. What do you expect from a good paper?
Well, I expect, to get a lot of new insights. For me, a very good paper is the one that makes you think. And you think about this, this specific paper and topic for some days. So that's a really good paper for me.
What is a scientific no-go for you, either in a paper or in a talk?
Well, I think it's really bad to get advantage of somebody else's work and do not credit this person or this work. So I think this is something that should be totally avoided.
What was the nicest or the worst review or comment you ever got?
The nicest was that it was for the review that I wrote, the referee said that he or she really enjoyed reading the paper, and she really congratulated me for the great job, and I was really happy about it because I spent quite a lot of time, and of course. And also I spent a lot of time with the figures and with everything, not only the text, also figures, everything. And I was really, really happy to be that. Well, this was useful for, and it probably will be useful for somebody else. And the worst, I always, as being a computational chemist, you always get the comment about, this is very nice, but this is computationally focused work. So do you have the experimental proof? Of course, we always try to include the experimental validation of what we find, but sometimes it's difficult. This comment on always doubting about the how accurate the computational results that we are getting are, it's quite common.
Can imagine that. We have already heard a bit partial answers to the next question, but I still ask you, how do you spend your time when you're not thinking about science?
Well, I spend the time with my small kid and my husband, and we like to do like some hiking. And of course, also I like painting. But I don't have much time. So these days more like spending time with my family.
So the final question, have you ever been to Graz?
No, never. That will be the first time.
Well, then let's hope that we will manage this summer.
I hope, yeah, I hope so.
Silvia, thanks a lot for this interview. I would have many more questions, but at some point we need to stop and hopefully we meet in Graz and then we can elaborate. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you again for the invitation and for the opportunity. And I really hope we can meet in person in Graz and enjoy the conference in person.
Silvia, thank it you. Was great to have you.
Thanks, Matthias.
Thank you all for tuning in again. Join us also the next time when we meet the next person who will have an invited lecture or a keynote lecture at the Biotrans 2021. And as always, leave us any feedback or questions at the Biotrans Twitter account or send us an email.
I want to encourage people to join the growing scientific community on Twitter. So I know this platform does not have the best reputation, but I can say the scientific community there is quite nice. The information goes fast and you can interact with a lot of people there and a lot of stuff is published there before you can see it anywhere else. So please join the people there.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons BY license, which allows rework and redistribution as long as credit is given and any adaption is licensed under similar terms.